from history, the things that we have learned over the years, all that's been shared. But I think that to cap it off, it would be good if, sort of in a nutshell, sort of a brief capsule nutshell, Lauren could give us kind of the broad sweep of his own personal experience with the Navigators, more than he has, because he's kind of hit the highlights, but more in detail, I think. You see, he's been with this outfit 25 years. It seems to me that there should be more than these minor incidents that he shared in 25 years, but kind of the broad sweep of things. Make it detailed. Make it chronological, if you could. You know, not a long thing, but more in detail. More of a chronological order. And, of course, brief. All right, Lauren, if you could fulfill that particular responsibility.
I'm so glad to be here this morning. My father was supposed to come, but he's getting married on Sunday, you know. Us kids are real glad about that, you know. Great moments are rare occasions. Yeah, you like my hat? I got this hat in Texas. You know, they think I'm a native, and I like to identify with the people. And when I eat with a knife and fork, then they think I'm an Alka Indian. the reason I thank you, very good, thank you so much. The reason I was in Berlin was to attend the World Congress for Two-Time Boys. I took along my mechanical wheel because it's all I had. And you've got to start where you are with what you have. So I took off on my motorcycle, vroom, 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 and Little Red Riding Hood took off behind me on her Honda, and I was going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, a big policeman clamped his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Son, you enjoy this kind of life." I said, "No, sir, I sure don't." So he let me go, and he took a Little Red Riding Hood off to jail. Oh, I'll never forget when I first met Dawson Trotman. I said, "I hear you have some fancy notebook pages." And he said, "How are your grades?" I said, "Oh, pretty good. I passed driver's training with a C+. And he said, "You meet me at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning down by the stream." So at 5 o'clock, I was there, and he had a fire going, and we roasted marshmallows. And he helped me organize my navigator notebook. And he gave me the third degree. He said, "You've got to live tough all week if you want to play tough on Saturday." He said, "Can you tackle the B races in 1 week?" I said, "I'm so hungry, I'll eat anything you cook." Sure. He said, Sonny, if you come with a navigator, you're going to have to sell the farm. I said, sell the farm? I was going to convert it into a conference grounds and a training center. He said, okay, one more thing. If you're going to be on my team, you are going to have to lose some weight. Would you believe it? I have lost 300 pounds. 30 pounds 10 times in the last 10 years.
I like to brag about it while I'm still around, you know. I got there for my first official day in San Diego. Here's your do list. I still have my do list. I got there with my Yogi Bear sweatshirt, and he said, all right, clean out the garage. Empty the waste basket. Staple 500 B rations. And organize your navigator notebook. And I have discovered that in my 25 years with the navigators, they have been days of monotony punctuated by moments of terror. At 5:30 in the morning for calisthenics. And one morning, so I said, Penny, I want you to show the entire staff how you do one-arm push-ups. Would you believe it? For the next month, I was the only man on the staff with both arms in a sling. No, I had to drink my Metrical through a straw. We used to travel around the country and have a gospel team. And I would lead the singing and play my trumpet. And my fiancée would sing solo. She was so bow-legged. And I was so knock-kneed that when we were there on the platform, we fell out. One night, Doss said, Penny, I want you to play Carnival of Venice as a trumpet solo for the offertory. And you know what the offertory plates had in them? 37 IOUs and a free offer for music lessons from the music teacher. Our gospel team went down to the southeast, and we went to a Marine base. And this Marine said to me, you're a civilian, aren't you? And I said, how did you know? And he said, well, that's the first time I have ever seen a left-handed salute to a Red Cross worker. And then our next stop was Texas A&M. And I said, I want to see the great Texas A&M library. And someone said, it's closed. And I said, why? And he said, somebody stole the book. You know, my first Bible class was very well attended in Seattle. That same beetle-browed, lantern-jawed second lieutenant came every week. And finally I said to him, Riggs, listen to me. If I'm going to have a team in Seattle, you're going to have to bring another man. And after many, many years of faithful service, I was finally promoted to the vice president of the navigator. I still have my do list, my first day. Clean out the garage. Empty the waste basket. Staple 10,000 B-rations. Organize your navigator notebook. And one other thing. Get it out of second and into high gear. We used to go to the Billy Graham Crusade. Advise the company, and one night a man came forward, and we were standing there, and and tears were streaming down his face. So I said, "Sir, are these sins, innocent?" He said, "No." He said, "You are standing on my ingrown thumbnail." And then, when I got to be president of the Navigator, I had one objective. My objective for the first 5 years was to build a team. A team of men with vision and initiative. Men who wanted to go someplace. They all went someplace. One of the first things I did was make a world trip, and I asked Doug Sparks, I said, "I want to meet your team." And the next thing I knew, there we were, out on the field, kicking a soccer ball around. When I was getting ready for the trip, the man in the men's store ahead of me ordered 7 t-shirts. And the fellow said, "Why 7? He said, "Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday." I got up there, I want 12 t-shirts. And the salesman said, "12, won't there be too many?" I said, "No, January, February." As I come to my 25th anniversary with with campus, this may come as a shock to you. It does to me. I am 46 years old, but I am physically fit. I have an exercise program. I run around the neighborhood every night. My Yogi Bear sweatshirt. They all call me the Wabash Cannonball. My objective for the next 25 years for the Navigators are very clear. 1, convert Glen Eyrie into a retirement center. Where retired navigators could spend their sunset years renewing the CMS. 2, clean out the garage. And 3, organize my navigator notebook.
If that were your son, would you be proud of him? Well, it's most fitting. Can we clean the debris away? Those navigator note pages. It's most fitting that so many of us can be together for this most auspicious occasion. The overseas men from faraway places, and so many of you from cities all across the nation, and as you noticed, so many of the Glen gang have joined us now, as well as a few of the families from town. And I think it would be fitting, too, if you could meet the better half of the Sanny family, Mrs. Lucille Sanny. Lucy, would you please stand so the gang can meet you? It was in September 1941 that Lawrence Annie accepted Dawson Trotman's invitation to join the Navigator staff. And here are excerpts from three letters exchanged between Dawson and Lauren concerning that matter. On August the 16th, Dawson wrote to Lauren, this is part of the letter, saying, "Then there's the matter of perhaps throwing in your lot with us right away. Not only is the Army field offering the greatest possibilities of all time in America, but interest is beginning to be created among others. Even now I know of a man who is interested in seeing some young fellow join us and go out on the road from Army camp to Army camp. This man knows what the Dunamis plan is and knows that we intend to reach key men, train them, and thus work instead of by any attempt to reach the masses. It's only a matter for prayer, but it's a big step and might bring criticism. But at any rate, you are one or two of the three men whom I could think of who might be able to fill such a place. Consider this letter as offering you a place of service in our work. We will attempt to use no persuasion whatever, but just put it before the Lord, or put it before you, as a matter of prayer for the Lord's leading. You would be immediately given responsibilities in leading clubs, assisting and helping the servicemen who come in and move on, in accompanying Robbie or me to Army camps for personal work, and so on. All you could expect would be your needs supplied, which, of course, would be board and room, transportation, and anything else the Lord was pleased to throw in." 5 days later, Lauren replied to Dawson, "Thank you for your offer to take a place of his service in your work. In fact, I am surprised that you make this offer to me when no doubt you have many others more capable than I from which to pick. I'm glad that you have that confidence in me, although I feel entirely unworthy of it. Indeed, I am thinking and praying about this matter daily. There is nothing I would rather do than work with you. I know I would like this very much to serve him in this particular field. Now, just a few questions. Perhaps the biggest question is, should I go ahead and finish my education first, or has there been too much emphasis put on education, degrees, etc.? Also, if I go to Wheaton or Biola, I will probably be called out in a short time by the draft. I'll be 21 November. In that case, perhaps it would be better if I take the opportunity to serve him now in this particular need while I have the chance." And then August 23rd, these two letters probably crossed in the mail, because 2 days later, Dawson writes again to Lauren, and he says, "The conviction is growing in my heart that this field not only represents for you perhaps the greatest possibilities for service right now, but I am also convinced that you are in a position to fill this present need. Very few young men these days are being called along such lines as we offer you, but the combination of the needs and God-given desire and ability and so on, coupled with the strategicness of the time, makes for an exceptional case." This is the no pressure part. "Be assured of one thing. This work is a great work, a great opportunity, perhaps the greatest field in America. And although we need more than one man, you seem to be the only one at the present we can put our hands on who might be able to come. And of course, with the need so immediate, we would like to see you come now. We are snowed under with Army contacts, and there seems to be no one to whom we can go. Do you realize that in coming to live with us, you will have opportunity among Navy men, Army men, young high school and college age fellows, and that there will be some outlet in all three fields all at the same time? I shall be waiting further correspondence from you. Quote, come over to Macedonia, parentheses, the Navigators, end of parentheses, and help us. So that was the beginning. And in 1941, Lorne became associated with the Navigators. In 1944, he and Lucy were assigned as Navigator representatives to Seattle, Washington. And one of the notable aspects of his Seattle ministry was that one-man Bible class. Though it probably never reached the team status, the man has gone on to fame without the fortune with the Billy Graham team. And in 1947, then, Lorne was transferred out of Seattle and back to the headquarters office, where he assisted Dawson in the overall direction of the Navigator work. Following Dawson's homegoing in June of 1956, Lorne was appointed the presidency of the Navigators by the Board of Directors. Page 3. In talking this over with some of the other staff members, we agreed that Lorne would be horrified at any trumpeting of his virtues. But speaking in behalf of our entire staff and friends around the world, I want to express to Lorne, for all of us, how much we appreciate his leadership, how much we have appreciated it down through the years, and also to mention a few of the characteristics that to us are so significant. Here are these things that we appreciate the most. First of all, the fact that he is a natural man. And by that I mean unaffected. He is in every circumstance, without pretense, but genuinely himself. Secondly, he ministers Christ to us through his preaching of the Word, which we believe is the gift of God, and also through the life that he lives. He ministers Christ to us. Thirdly, he exhibits personal holiness and a humility in his relationships to all of us. Fourth, his objective is to see men and women brought to Christ and then helped and developed until they come to a place of real usefulness in the body of Christ. Fifthly, he has given leadership to us in difficult circumstances, leading us out of the woods, as it were, and resolving difficult problems that, if they remained unresolved, would have restricted the Navigator ministry in the future and around the world. And then lastly, he inspires confidence in us as his followers because of his objectivity, because of his fairness, and because of his ability to think through to the basic causes of a complex problem. This is a gift that God has given him. And along with this, as one of the fellows expressed it, he has an anointing somehow to bring out the best in all of us who work with him. And these express in part our thoughts about Lorne's leadership, as well as an effort to express our appreciation to him. And as an expression of our appreciation, from both Navigator friends and staff, as many of you know, a couple months ago, we put out a little P.S. in the Dear Gang letter, and we mentioned that we wanted to do something for Lorne and Lucy on their 25th wedding anniversary. So staff and friends from many parts of the world have pooled resources together, and we have in fact purchased a 1967 Buick Skylark, and in just a moment we're going to go outside and take a look at this car that's now parked out in front of the castle. But this is merely an expression, this is merely a token of expression for the Nav Gang around the world and for many of you who know and love Lorne. And we want to express this in this way. This is an expression of our love and of our confidence to Lorne. And I've asked Jim Downing if he would come and lead us in a word of prayer. And then, Lorne, when When Jim has finished praying, perhaps you and Lucy would come on and just lead the way down the hallway and out the front door to where the car is. Okay, Jim?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the command and the privilege of giving thanks in everything. We thank Thee also for the admonition to rejoice with them that do rejoice. And so, our Father, we rejoice together at the 25 years of leadership and contribution which Lauren has given to the Navigators. This is an occasion to really rejoice, and we do in having been a part of this experience and the results of it. And our Father, we rejoice also in the men and women who have been raised up in these years to carry on the vision which Dawson Trotman had. We rejoice in the generosity of those who wanted to make this expression, this tangible expression of appreciation to Lorne and his family. And so, our fathers, we rejoice together. We pray that this token gift of appreciation shall bring honor to Christ, and that the next 25 years in the Navigators shall far overshadow that which has taken place in the past. We rejoice together, giving Thee the credit and the honor and the glory for all we have and all we are today. In Jesus' name.
I think you'd also be interested in knowing that the income from contributions toward this project provided enough funds for us to not only purchase the car, but also to pay the income tax that Lauren would otherwise have to pay on this additional income. And interestingly enough, when we picked up the car this morning from the local Buick agency, and they incidentally gave us a very sizable discount, we discovered that the lady working in the office who made out the papers is a next-door neighbor to Lauren and Lucy. And we thought, well, you know, there's just been hundreds of ways in which this project could have leaked, and they could have heard about it. I'm afraid to ask whether they heard about it or not, but it's been thrilling to see how the Lord has done all of this and made it possible. Lauren?
This word, and Lucy preferred not to stand here while I say it. There have been a few changes over the years. As the fellow said, years ago for him it was wine, women, and song, and later it became Metrical, that same old gal, and sing along with Mitch. And for me, I really, it's Tab and this wonderful gal. Come here, honey. I only got about a minute and a half worth there. And I might say, sing along with Chuck, for those of you who know my son, Chuck. I appreciated those words that Rod had to say, and I'm delighted that they are not an obituary. But I really feel deep in my soul that these 25 years are preparation for far greater things in the future. We really do. And I told Lucy and I told some of the gang that if I were to start all over and could wipe out the present staff of the Navigators and to start all over, I'd repick the same ones. And I would say that the real motivating force of our lives as we embark on however long the Lord gives us to co-labor here is really Isaiah 60:22, that we are motivated deep in our souls to help every one of you become a thousand. This thrills us, delights us. And if we can see the kind of a Charlie Riggs multiplied 100 or 1,000 and tens of thousands literally times, this is the thing to which our lives are dedicated as we start our second 25 years, the Navigators. And we're overwhelmed, I can tell you that. So I wanted to say now, thanks a lot. And let's go look at that buggy, shall we?